Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister, serving with me, Brother Horace Stroud, co-host from Houston, Texas, Brother Anthony Funder from Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, and Brother Austin Wiggins from Bowder, Texas, co-host. Tonight, we have a Brother Ronnie Fisher Jr., minister of the Assemblies Street Church of Christ in Denton, Texas. He will speak from the topic, Do You Have God? It'll be in your New Testament, 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Brother Fisher, I need you to tell us about this topic you gave us with the question, Do you have God?
Brother Brooks, thank you for the invitation. And to the rest of the committee, I thank you as well for the invitation to come and share on tonight. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 2 John chapter 1 and meet me at verse number 9. 2 John chapter 1 and meet me at verse number 9, and we will read verses 9 through 11 on tonight. 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ has not God. And he that abideth in the doctrines of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Tonight, the question that's on the table is, do you have God? Do you have God? Now, tonight, I want you to ask that question. But here's how I want you to ask that question, or answer the question, rather. I want you to answer the question not by your opinion, not by your feeling, but let's get into the Word of God and look at the facts of the matter. Does your facts of having God match the same facts that are in Scripture? And so the first thing that John lets us know in verse number 9, we see there, he says, whosoever transgresses. So we clearly see that he says that you do not have God. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrines does not have God. When we look at this word transgression, it is simply defined as an act that goes against the rule, the law, or the code of conduct to simply be an offense to God. If we're going to have God, then you cannot be offensive to God. Well, what does that look like? James chapter 4 in verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. So quickly and right away, James lets us know that God has an expectation for all of us not to be in sin. If one is in sin, he is not connected to God. Therefore, you don't have God. But one might be saying tonight, well, he knows my heart. Yes, God knows your heart. But the question becomes, does he accept your sinful heart? And we can see this. We can see this. Let's look at this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. So we see here clearly that this is what sin is. Sin is when we go against God's law. To go against somebody, are you with them? No. You cannot be with them. You have to be in agreement to be with them. So what God is letting us know is that those that are against me, you are not with me. How do I know this? How do I know this? Because Isaiah lets us know this. Look with me in Isaiah 59 in verse number 1. Isaiah 59 is starting at verse number 1. Isaiah 59 and starting at verse number 1, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ears heavy that he cannot hear. but your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. So therefore, through all of these scriptures of being in sin, transgressing against the law, we clearly see that we do not have God. Well, what does that mean then? Well, what does that mean? Look at what John chapter 9, look with me in John chapter 9 in verse 31. John chapter 9 in verse 31, and you have to ask yourself, do I really have God tonight? Not by opinion, not by your thoughts, but look at the scriptures. And I want you to be honest with yourself, because we can never change the status of what we are and who we are spiritually until we have truly been honest with ourselves, so that we can make the proper changes through the scriptures. John chapter 9 and verse 31. John says, and we know that God here is not the sinner. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, it's him he hears. And so therefore, we quickly right away understand that if you want to be connected to God, if you want to have God, then you need to have a mindset, and we need to not only have a mindset, but have a, the Bible tells us to be hearers and doers of the word, not hearers only, but doers of the word. So therefore, if you want God tonight, you have to hear his word, but you also have to be a doer, have to be one that says that I desire to have and to do God's will. This is where we are tonight. We have to desire to want to do God's will. We must understand that if we want to have God, you have to come out of that state of sin. And just bear with me. I'm going to show you tonight, how do I come out of the sinful state that I'm in to be able to have God? Point number two tonight, point number two of asking yourself, do I really have God? John says, whosoever transgresses and not abide in the doctrine. So point number two tonight is that those that do not abide in the doctrines of Christ, we don't have God. That comes with having God. You have to abide in the doctrine. The word abide simply means to accept the act of the rule or decision. To be able to abide, you got to accept the rule or decision. And so therefore, he said he wants us to abide in the doctrine. So simply mean, what it simply means is that I can't go by what I feel. I can't go by what people think or what I think is best. I got to abide in the doctrine. I have to accept what God has said, whether I like it or not, if I want to have God. This is where we all have to be tonight, because, see, the word cuts all of us. The word should prick all of us. The word cuts all of us. The word finds us guilty at some point in time in our lives. But what we have to do is be more accepting to help us to be better Christians than we have been in the past, or even to become Christians in the proper way. Because a part of the problem is that we claim to be Christians, but have we done it according to the word of God? You have to abide in the word. That means letting God rule in your heart to be able to accept the word for what it says. Look with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 6. 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 6. 1 John chapter 1 in verse number 6. The Bible says, and if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. In order for us to truly abide in the word of God, you got to come out of darkness. You got to come out of sin. You got to come out of false teaching. You got to come out of yourself. And what you have to do is look to God for your answers. And when you look to God for your answers, abide there. Accept what God has said. Look with me. Look with me in 1 John chapter 2 in verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2 in verses 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 2 in verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, hereby we know him if we what? Keep his commands. So if you're saying that you have God and you know God, the standard has been set to be able to know him is to keep his commands. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commands, he is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfect. Hereby we know him. And so therefore, what John lets us know, how you absolutely know that you know God, is that you are abiding in his word. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 15, if you love me, then keep my commands. That's how we know that we have God. We are listening to him. We're trusting in him. And mainly, we are obeying God's word. We are abiding in the word of God. And so that's where all of us have to be tonight. We have to abide in the word of God. Look with me. Look with me. What does that look like? What does that look like? What it looks like is that we have to come out of darkness. That's what that looks like tonight. That if you're abiding in the word of God, you have to come out of darkness. Look with me. Look with me. John chapter 8 in verse number 12. John chapter 8 in verse number 12, where Jesus says that I am the light of the world. That's what Jesus wants us all to understand, that he is the light. If you want to know how do I come from a dark place, you got to look to the light. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 119 in verse 105 that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so therefore, in John chapter 1 and starting at verse number 1, Jesus lets us know that he is the word. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. So what we clearly see is that if we abide in the light, we will find ourselves in a place where there is no darkness. And that's where all of us have to be tonight. We have to find ourselves in a place where there is no darkness. This is how we abide in the word of God. This is when we abide in the word, that's what it's going to do for us. When we become accepting to the word, listening to God, and doing God's will, you will find yourself to be in the light where God has called you to be. Here's my question tonight. Here's my question tonight. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Because when you say that God knows my heart, what you're saying is that God accepts me for who I am. But we clearly see through the scriptures that we're not supposed to be in the dark. So then how can I say that God, that I have God, but I'm walking contrary to what the word of God says? So tonight I want us to understand and really come to the realization, can I have God or do I have God, but I'm still in sin? No, ma'am, and no, sir. In order for us to have God, we have to come into his marvelous light, because light and darkness have no fellowship. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse number 10, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 10. Look at what Paul says here, Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 10. The Bible says, approving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrines hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrines of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So Paul lets us know the same thing that John lets us know. You cannot be in sin, and you have to be in the word. You got to follow the word. You have to accept it for what it is and do God's will if you want the Father and the Son. Do you have God tonight? Now answer that question by the scriptures that are being said. Do we have God tonight? Because, see, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand, that those that abide have the Father. And not only those that have that abide have the Father, but you also have the Son. But in order to have him, it comes hand in hand. You cannot be in sin, and you have to be doing God's will. Watch this. John chapter 14 in verse 21. John chapter 14 in verse 21 and verse 23. John chapter 14, verses 21 and 23. The Bible says, He that has my commands and keepeth them, that is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall have the love of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself into him. So Christ lets us know that not only when you abide in the Word, I know that you're abiding in the Word because you love me. And not only do you love me, I see myself in you. And when I have myself in you, what's going to come out is me out of you. And so Christ is saying, when you come into me, I'm going to come out of you. And so folk ought to be able to see Christ in you, not because you say that you're a Christian, not because you think that you're a Christian, simply because you're doing what God has said. Jesus said, and Jesus also said in verse 23, John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and I will come unto him, and we will abode with him. So Jesus is saying that I'm with you. But how do I know? Do I have God? The standard is that I cannot be in sin, and I have to be doing God's will. I have to be abiding in God's word. I have to accept what God has said and then obey at the same time what God has said. This is how I know. This is how God knows that you have accepted it. You're doing his will. You're doing his will. And so therefore, here's what I want you to understand. Here's what I want you to understand tonight. By abiding in the doctrines of Christ, it is a fundamental to our faith to hold the proper views of Christ. That becomes very important. It's very important that you understand who Christ is and what Christ is all about. Look with me in 2 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, for many deceivers will enter into the world who confess that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh, and these are they that deceive and are the Antichrist. Antichrist is simply one that goes against God. And what I came to tell you tonight is that you have to be careful, because there are people that look good, that sound good, but are not given good doctrine. And the reason, how do I know this, and how you can tell is, they'll tell you something, but you can't find it in the Word of God. Here's the problem. A lot of people are saying amen, but you can't find it in the Bible. If you can't find it in the Bible, you shouldn't support it. If men can't find it in the Bible, it should not be preached. And so tonight, I want us to understand that when we can't find things in the Bible, and yet it's being preached and being practiced, God is not with that, because God is not the author of confusion. And when you go against God, and when false prophets and false preachers go against God, that's confusion. And so, therefore, we must understand that we need to have the proper views of Christ. Any doctrine will not do. Here's what I want you to understand, why it's important to abide in the Word of God. Because not only is it fundamental to understand the proper view of Christ, but it's also very important for us to grow in our faith and be obedient to the commandments of Christ. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. It's important for this. It's important for us to understand that we have to grow in faith, and growing in faith should cause us to be obedient to the cause of Christ. The only way that we can grow in our faith is that we got to get into the Word. The only way that we can truly abide in the Word is that we have to listen to God's will. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Wait a minute. So who dwells with the Lord? He that keepeth his commandments. and he is in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given unto us. What kind of spirit is that? The spirit of obedience. The spirit of abiding. He says, listen, John is letting us know those that are abiding with Christ are those that he's abiding in. Do you want the Lord to abide with you tonight? If you want the Lord to abide in you tonight, you got to be abiding in the Lord. You have to be trusting and accepting to the will of God. Look with me tonight. Here's point number three. John says, if you accept false teachers, then you don't have God. If you accept false teachers, then you don't have God. We have to be in a place to where we understand what God wants us to do and not accept those things that God has not told us to do. Why? Because remember, John said that those that bid them Godspeed, those that accept that kind of teaching, he says, you are partaking in their evil deeds. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to miss heaven on somebody else's record. So therefore, I need to make sure tonight that I'm getting it right with God. And the only way that I can get it right with God is to be doing what God has told me to do. Here's the problem. Here's the problem tonight. See, some folk know to do good, and the reason why they ain't doing it is because they have more connection to a man than they do to God. You hear people say, the reason why I can't leave that church is because that's my grandfather's church. Now, hear what you just said. You're dedicating yourself to your grandfather's church, but not the Lord's church. You hear people say that I know the Church of Christ is right, but the reason why I can't come is because y'all don't have musical instruments in the church. But show me one scripture in the New Testament where the New Testament church practiced instrumental music when it came to praising God. God has set the standard, John 4:24. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Now, he said, abide in my word. So, therefore, if we are abiding in the word, he said, listen, worship ain't never been about us. Worship is about God. And at the point where we're making worship about us and what in our preferences, you haven't made it about God. You're not abiding in the word of God because we find no scriptures that tell us worship the way that we want to worship. All the scriptures tell us we are commanded to worship in spirit and in truth. So therefore, tonight we got to stop being caught up in man's ideas. We got to stop being caught up in our own ideas. And what we got to do is get into the word of God to find out, does my feelings, does my belief match the word of God? And when my feelings and my belief don't match the word of God, then I need to make some corrections in my life so that I can have God. Do you want God tonight? You can have him. But you have to get to a place to where you're not supporting false teachers. Look with me in Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1 in verse number 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which there's not another, but some trouble you that you would be promoted from the gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than which that have been preached unto you, let them be accursed. And as I said before, and I say again now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to get to. Paul, number one, said that there is no other gospel. So if there's no other gospel, then why depend on the Catholic book, the catechism? Why depend on the Book of Mormon? Why do you depend on the Muslim book, the Quran? Why depend on that if Paul says that there is not another gospel? The gospel that saves is by the book, the chapter, and the verse, which is the Bible, the biblical instructions before leaving earth. That's the only sole purpose. That's the only sole book that all of us ought to lean on. But listen, here's the other point. When people start twisting and turning the scriptures, that's not the gospel anymore. That's their gospel. And so you have to be careful that you are not abiding in what men are doing in the men's gospel, but rather that you are in the book that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. See, here's the question. Paul asks in verse number 10, for do I now proceed to please men or God? For if I seek to please men, I am not a servant of Christ. This is what all of us have to remember. When you are more concerned about what men are doing instead of Christ doing, he said, you're not Christ's servant. Do you want to have Christ tonight? Do you want to have God tonight? Then you cannot be concerned with what men are doing, but rather you need to be more concerned with what God is doing. If we're going to be saved tonight, if you're going to have Christ, then you need to follow the words of Christ. The Bible tells us in John, 3 John chapter 1 and verse number 8, that we need to be fellow workers of the truth. This is where all of us need to be. Not workers of false doctrine, but workers of the truth. The Bible teaches us in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 11, remember we read that our teachings should not be contrary to the doctrines of Christ, but rather we ought to be supporting the gospel truth. And when the doctrines of Christ is being contrary, you are supporting men's evil deeds. So how can Christ be a part of that? Do you have God tonight? And if you want him tonight, then I'm going to urge you, I beseech you, I beg you to search the scriptures for yourself to find, are these things so? Because what you will find when you have an honest heart is that all of us need to make some corrections in our lives, but some of us need to come out of the houses of worship that we're worshiping in because we don't find scripture for those types of places. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. Here's what I want to tell you tonight. Don't bid them Godspeed. In other words, don't encourage them that are teaching false doctrine. Don't encourage them. Don't support them. Don't be with them. Don't give them your money. Don't listen, because the time will come and the time is here where men are not enduring sound doctrine. But look at what Paul told Timothy. Look at what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and starting at verse number 1. He said, preach the word. In other words, Timothy, stand on the word. There's going to be times even to where you're going to go against family. There's going to be times to where you're going to go against your friends. But to know that I'm right with Christ, that's all that matters tonight. Because I need to have the Lord in my life. As I come to a close, here's what I want you to understand. We cannot support false teaching and preaching. God is not with that. We cannot support to continue to justify, to live in sin. God is not with that. But look, as I come to a close, John chapter 15 in verse number 7. John chapter 15 in verse number 7. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask for what you will and it will be done unto you. How is that? Because I'm not in sin anymore, so the Lord can hear my prayer. Because I'm dwelling, I'm abiding in his word, so that means that the Lord knows that I'm with him. And how great it is to know that I'm with the Lord. Maybe tonight you're looking at those scriptures and you're saying, preacher, you're absolutely right. And I need a closer relationship with God. I need to make sure that I ensure my relationship with God. Don't you? God has a plan for you tonight. God has a plan for you tonight with your name on it. It's just for you. But here's what's beautiful about it. It's not specifically just to you, but it's for you. It's for you. Here's the plan. He says, hear my gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's what I want you to understand, Paul. Paul asked the question, do I proceed to please men or do I proceed to please God? See, if you want to please God tonight, you grow in your faith. Hebrews 11 and 6, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe and be a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So therefore, how do I please God? I grow in my faith. How do I grow in my faith? I got to get into the word. And then when I get into the word, I have to accept the word for what it says so that I can have a relationship with the Lord. This is how I get it. So not only am I to hear the word, I have to believe it. I got to abide in it. I have to accept the word for what it says and do God's will. And you know what it does for you? It changes your life. This is how I'm coming into my relationship with Christ. It's going to change my life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30 that there was a time that God winked at ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's a change of life. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So therefore, those that perish don't have God. So if I don't want to perish, then I got to have God. The only way I can have him is go back and do his will. Listen to what he says and be a doer of his word. Listen, when I change my life, then I'm not ashamed of Christ. That's confession. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and with the mouth man confess, for confession is made unto salvation. Jesus tells us what we need to confess. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But he that denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. But my friends tonight, here's what I want you to understand about that confession. It's not just about your lip service, but it's about the life that you live. That's the confession that Christ is looking for. You shouldn't have to tell folks that I'm a Christian. It should be shown by the life that you live, abiding in the Word of God. You got to come out of darkness. You got to come out of darkness tonight. And that's a part of the confession that he wants you to make by changing your life, trusting in the Lord more than you trust in men. Trusting in the Lord more than you trust in yourself. This is how we have a relationship with God. And then you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. John chapter 3, our Savior tells us how to be saved. Nicodemus has a conversation with him, and he said that you must be born again. Nicodemus said, Lord, how can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time when he's old? But Jesus says that I'm talking about of the water and the spirit. And then Jesus says, without the water and the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe Peter clears it up on the day of Pentecost with the rest of the apostles. When he preached that first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, when we get to verse 36, he told them that you have crucified both Lord and Christ. And the men began to murmur, sirs, men and brethren, what must we do in order to be saved? Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice what Peter didn't say. He didn't tell them, touch the radio. He didn't tell them, say a sinner's prayer. He told them that they need water to have the spirit. And I came to tell you tonight, without the water, there is no spirit. And there is no spirit without the water. The Bible says in verse 41, those that gladly received the word, they were baptized. In verse 47, praising God and having favor, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those were the ones that have God. When you have listened to what the Bible says, when you have listened to what the men of God have said, not according to opinion, not by feeble stories, but when book, chapter, and verse is being presented to you in order how to be saved, how can you deny what the Savior has said in order to be saved? Listen, here's what I want to tell you tonight. And after you listen to God's blessed command and do his will, here's the part that all of us must understand. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 that if we be faithful unto death, you're going to receive a crown of life. That's what it takes to have a relationship with God. And as Brother Books comes back to the phone, let me leave you with this. It's better to have the Lord and not need him than to need him and not have him. God bless you, and may he keep us all.